The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line, Friday's Man in Line, your chance to have your say about whatever's on your mind today. It could be the biggest thing in the world, it could be the biggest thing in your life, whatever it is, then share it with everyone else on the Isle of Man. You can text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, call 66 13 68, whatever it is. You're on. And also, I must point out that tomorrow is a very big day. It is the 1st of October, but also, if you currently smoke, tomorrow marks the start of Stoptober. It could be the first day of the rest of your life. It's a month where smokers are encouraged to quit the habit for 30 days. There's that thing, isn't there? They say if you groove a habit for 30 days, then it'll be with you for as long as you want it to be with you. So if you can stop for October, you may be stopping smoking for the rest of your life. Stoptober, according to a recent lifestyle survey on the Isle of Man, 10,000 people apparently admit to smoking. So if you're addicted to the nicotine or to the tobacco, let's hope tomorrow is a big day for you. If you want it to be, that is. Julian's first on Man in Line. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Dare I say it's feeling a bit cool out there today. Probably good for the plants and the water table. And interestingly, the wind speeds are nearly about what a wind turbine would cut out at, you know, when it gets too windy. So this is the sort of where you wouldn't get any electricity often because they would shut down for fear of the gearbox overheating. Which brings me to this. The other day on your programme, it was suggested that the Isle of Man should deploy around 100 megawatts of wind turbines on the island. So if you look at the UK onshore wind farms that we've got a few of around the UK, the industry standard size for an onshore one is 2 megawatts. So if you want to make 100 megawatts on the island, you're going to need 50. And each one of those are about 400 feet high. So for context, the Peveril building opposite the sea terminal, which I must say, it looks great after that refurbishment. I went past it yesterday and it looks fantastic. These turbines would be about six times the height of the Peveril building. So if you imagine six of the Peveril buildings on top of each other, that's the height. And based on the spacing between the turbines that the UK farms have used, those 50 turbines would need about 5.5 square miles to give them a bit of room to breathe, which is equivalent, if you were to do a square, it would be something like Onken Park to Pulrose Golf Club, and then you'd go up to Glenvine, and then you'd head towards Baldwin, and then you'd come back to Onken again. So sort of that kind of a square. And it would just be useful, perhaps, if our friend Bondo could just confirm that it would be something along that scale at 100 megawatts of power. And my final point, recently I mentioned to you about the World Climate Declaration.
Oh, yes.
And I think
that's the thing that's signed by, it's Australian, is it? Did it come from Australia?
It's international. I mean, to be honest, if you look at the list, I mean, there's not many countries that aren't mentioned on it. It's a load of PhD scientists. In fact, if you try and sign up to it, it's got a great long list of your qualifications that you need to fill in. So it's not for everyone to fill that one in. But the last time I spoke to you, which was, I don't know, about a week and a half ago about it or something like that, I think it was at about 1,200. So another 200 scientists have signed it. So I think currently, if you look on clintel.org, it's showing 1,401 signatories. So I'm just one of a growing number of people that are questioning the climate emergency narrative. It's not just me.
I just wonder where we get from this, because, I mean, you probably know my approach. I like to hear the evidence. I like to hear people's opinions. I'm not a fan of arguments, because I prefer light to heat. And I just wonder how we negotiate this, Julian. How do we get... Because we obviously have polarised opinions. There are some people bordering on the... evangelical about both sides of this. And Julian, how do we get through this? What has to happen before people start to agree?
Well, I suppose you could say it's nice to have the evidence base, but one side of the debate so far seems to be impoverishing everyone, because it's extremely expensive, massive subsidies, doesn't seem to produce energy regularly, which is what we need if we want to stay with our modern life. You might say my side kind of doesn't really buy into the fact that CO2 is a bad thing, because plants tend to grow exponentially more and more the more CO2 you have. So the greener the world is when you have more CO2 in it. My ideal thing would be kind of to go back to where we had cheap fuels, freedom to travel wherever you want. You know, it's not like there hasn't been progress made. I mean, if you look at a typical car that was made in 2007, the emissions out of those cars now are about 30 times less than they were in some of the other things like nitrous oxide, etc. So they have been working to make the fuel combustion chambers more efficient. They've been trying to do the filters better. So, you know, it's not for nothing that if you buy, a Nissan Note or something, you can do 450, 500 miles on one of those if you drive, you know, carefully and you watch how you drive. And then, of course, the other side of this debate is how toxic is lithium mining, for example, or molybdenum for the magnets that make all these things, and cobalt, where you have to go to the Democratic Republic of Congo to watch children digging it out of the mud. So there's a lot of questions as to what's going on there. And also, of course, the cost of all these things never seems to have the calculation for what do you do when they're knackered in 15 to 20 years, or electric cars where the battery goes at 8 years time and it costs more than the replacement value of the car to fix it. What happens with the equation in terms of an internal combustion engine car that might go 50 years if you look after it and have it renovated every so often? So
on a psychological level, Julian, I know you ride a motorbike, don't you?
As well, yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to talk to you about the personal, if you like, the fact that we've had personal transport now for over 100 years and the liberating effect of personal transport. And if we go to the future where public transport is made free and more people use public transport and personal transport is in some way inhibited, whether it's by cost or by legislation, what that does to the psyche, really, if that liberating effect of personal transport is taken away.
Well, imagine, say, you want to go to Douglas for the day and you live north of Jerby and you can only have access to public transport. I mean, I think the best will in the world, I think there's only a couple of buses to Jerby. But if you live up the coast road, I mean, how are you going to get there? That's not going to be very easy. There might not even be a bus route. I mean, unless they're going to start using mass deployment of buses all over the place every 25 minutes around the whole island. I mean, you're a bit stuck, aren't you? Unless you decide you want to live in Douglas or south, or, you know, there's quite a few places on the island where public transport isn't really, if you want to have any kind of freedom to have a look around, yeah, or go shopping or something.
But I mean, people like personal transport. They like their own space. And I don't know whether, I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we become used to it in our lifetime that we, you know, our own personal transport. If you've got a car, it's your own personal space. You can play whichever radio station or music that you want. If you smoke, you can have a smoke in the car or in the van. Now, that may be taken away in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, the car is probably the greatest single technological innovation that gave people freedom. I mean, imagine before the car, if you wanted to say, I don't know, go from San Francisco to New York on a horse, as compared with once there was some gas stations, you might say, across the states, you know, it's much easier, much more comfortable, and you can carry things as well. I mean, let's suppose you take public transport to Douglas to go shopping. Let's suppose you need a lot of shopping, and you've got to walk with how many bags of shopping back to the bus in the rain? I mean, imagine a day like today where you have to look out that window. Imagine trotting around town and you've got to get on a bus.
All right, we appreciate it, Julian. Thanks for calling today. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, Andy. Bye.
Okay, and here's Pat with us on Man in Line. Hi, Pat.
Hello. I just wanted to comment to you about the Chief Minister's statement on nuisance. I think it's very wrong for the Chief Minister to interfere in the planning process, especially when it is not, or possibly not, complete. But perhaps more importantly is the fact that Kell Properties already have permission to renovate nuisance property. There's a valid planning consent on in place for renovations of nuisance and the adjoining buildings, and also partial demolition from numbers 22, 23, 25, 26, demolition and renovation. That permission has been in place for 3 years. So it's not the planning process that's stopping development, it's the owner themselves. And although they didn't get that permission, they were the owners when that permission was given.
I think the Chief Minister was also talking in general terms, Pat, about the fact that, you know, we're lumbered with some awful brownfield sites, and, you know, somebody has to do something with them. And if there is a disconnect between the planning process, I'm not saying there is, but I mean, if something's gone wrong somewhere, and the public, I think, is entitled to know why.
Well, I don't think anything has gone wrong with the North Quay one. As I say, there's a valid consent on it. There's obviously an awful lot of other holes in the ground all around the island. And the last time, as he was then Treasury Minister, Cannon made statements on whether or not a site should be demolished and redeveloped, it was up in Ramsey Quayside. We lost the warehouse there after the acting minister overturned the inspector's report on demolition. And now we've just got a site that is full of weeds and rubble several years on, and absolutely nothing has happened on it.
Yes, I remember when that happened on the Quayside. But again, I just come back to the fact that we have to decide, you know, what it is we want to preserve. And there are many buildings on the Isle of Man that, you know, merit preserving because of their history and architectural merit. But we can't save everything, Pat, can we?
Yes, but this is a unique building. It's the only surviving unaltered warehouse. And across you would find plenty of warehouses converted to other uses. And if you've got a building that is unique on the island, then I think it deserves more attention than just being demolished.
Okay. All right. No, we appreciate that, Pat. Thanks for calling today.
Can I also add that the Kell Properties claim that the scheme would have provided for Manx families? In fact, there were only 10 properties. There were one or two bedroom flats at most. Some weren't even showing kitchens in them. And they would not have provided for Manx families, let alone affordable housing, which Kell Properties had already indicated they wanted to get out of having to provide, even though they would only have to provide one. So I think there is a lot more to it than Chief Minister Cannon has taken on board. And I think it's very wrong to make statements like that if you're not in full possession of the facts.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Pat, and I think there will be a lot more to come out on this and other brownfield sites. Appreciate that, Pat. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, it's 21 minutes past one on Manx Radio. The government is actively listening to people on the Isle of Man, says the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture. They're listening to people on the Isle of Man in a bid to make the planning process easier. It's according to DEFA, in the week which saw that £8 million plan for the development of North Quay shelved after planning was refused. The nuisance site, the nuisance building, and other properties adjacent to it were, under the plans, due to be developed into retail and hospitality venues and some accommodation. The planning permission was refused. So do you smoke? Do you smoke cigarettes? Do you smoke a pipe? What do you smoke? Stoptober starts tomorrow. According to a recent lifestyle report on the Isle of Man, 10,000 people admit that they smoke. Now, Quit For You is the organisation that helps you get out of smoking. Susan Saunders is the manager of Quit For You, and she says, compared to the UK, the Isle of Man does better in terms of managing smoking.
It's a good introduction to having a go at quitting, because it doesn't feel quite so intimidating as quitting for good. So it's a bit of a taster of, can I do this and am I ready for this?
Have you had people that's come to you and said, I've done this challenge in October and I felt that it has helped me?
There are very few people that don't sign up for a Stoptober that don't remain smoke-free. Most people find that once they're over that initial fear of quitting, they're on this journey, they don't want to turn back. So the success rate is actually really high. What we have to remember with smoking, it's a very misunderstood addiction, because you're addicted in two ways. So you have this huge chemical addiction to nicotine, which is one of the most addictive substances known to man. But you've also got this massive psychological addiction. It's very ingrained in them. It almost feels like part of their personality. We're here to show you that it's not impossible. At the end of the day, you know, everyone is having to tighten their belt right now, and quitting smoking will make a dramatic improvement on any spare cash that you've got. At the end of the day, when you smoke, when you think about it, you may as well just burn your money, because that's what you're doing. You're setting fire to money. Once you've bought a packet of cigarettes, there is nothing to be gained from a health point of view, and it's eating at money that you could be using for other things.
Do you feel that people are being more educated and we're seeing less and less people turning to cigarettes?
We have seen a slight reduction in the Isle of Man, but there are still a lot of smokers out there that we need to help. So we are heading in the right direction. From the beginning of this year, we've had 110 quits come through the service. If you'd like to know the success rate, the UK's last recorded success rate statistics were 59%, but in the Isle of Man, it's 82%. So people in the Isle of Man are really good at stopping smoking. So our success rate is a lot higher than the UK.
And remember, you stop smoking, you will save an absolute fortune. A packet of fags now, an absolute fortune. If you do smoke, and if you enjoy smoking, and let's face it, many people do enjoy smoking, and they roll their eyes when we talk about giving up smoking, well, this maybe isn't for you. But if it's something you would like to stop, then Quit For You can help. You call them on 642407. 642407, or go to gov.im/quit4you. The four is a figure four. Gov.im, Quit For You, 642407. And you will save an absolute fortune. Our friend Howard's been talking about the alcohol measures sold at restaurants and pubs and clubs. For months, Howard's been flagging this up. It starts today. Spirits like gin, rum and vodka will now be sold in measures of 25 millilitres instead of 28.4 millilitres. Meanwhile, fortified wines like sherry, port and Madeira will be served in quantities of 50 mils and 70 mils. Part of the problem's been the difficulty that licensees have had sourcing optics calibrated to the previous measures. Simon Richardson has been to the bar.
While a reduction in the size of a measure of spirits won't be universally welcomed, it adds up to well under a teaspoon. So does owner of Quids Inn, Andy Saunders, expect any public reaction?
We have had people raise concerns about it in the past, but when we do take them and actually show them the difference in the measure, most people aren't overly concerned in the at the end of that.
So people will be getting a little bit less and the prices will be staying the same, but to put their minds at rest, it's a very, very small amount.
It's a very small amount, and that's what I'd just like to raise. You know, like if you look into the supermarkets, you're seeing basics rise at about 30-40%. We've seen our gas bills go up nearly 300%. Fuel's gone up 50% or something. While there is a reduction in the size of the measure this time. This will help the industry as a whole hold prices at a lower, and you're not going to see, hopefully, although I can't speak for every business, you're not going to see huge jumps in rises in prices, hopefully, in your locals. So get out and support us.
Head of the Office of Fair Trading, John Peat, told Chanel Suku he acknowledged it was a big change for the industry.
Quite a big thing for that sector. We have done some visits this week, advisory visits, to make sure that people are aware of it. We've done some publicity, and we've also approached the sector through the licensing forum. So most people should be aware of it. We're not going to go storming in and say, this needs to be done now. If people are struggling, they need to contact us to get the correct measures. It is a big change, so you know we're going to be sensible about it. But if people ignore our advice, then we might have to consider enforcement action.
Do you feel that it will impact some of the hospitality businesses? Would it maybe put consumers off from going?
It's there to help. It's there to help the hospitality business in the long term. Measuring instruments, events are going to be prohibitive. So we might have then ended up a situation where we had the easy to get. Or the easier to get 25 milliliter measures and the 5th of June measures being in the same premises. The 25 mil would have been illegal, so you'd have a mixture of legal and illegal measures on the same premises, which would have been ridiculous. So now we've clarified it. 1/5 of June is equivalent to 28.4 millilitres, and we're asking for 25 millilitres on insisting on 25 millilitres. So there's not a massive difference. We would hope the hospitality industry bring prices down accordingly, but it's not much in terms of volume, the reduction. The aim is, A, help sensible drinking, but also promote sensible drinking, but also to help the hospitality industry in the long term.
So, slightly smaller measures are now in force. If there's a positive, maybe the hangovers won't be quite so bad.
Well, we'll see, and if this affects you, I just wonder what your thoughts are. Have you been discussing this with your favourite landlord or bartender? Then text, email, call or WhatsApp. Stevens joins us now. Hi, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I would like to say in support of your previous contributor, Pat, who spoke about the Chief Minister's intervention. I agree with Pat. I think this is completely wrong. It's there's still due process to go over the planning application. If those who have applied can seek to appeal this, but the Chief Minister should have understood he must remain above all the due processes and planning procedures of the various applications that go in. He shouldn't partisanly make an announcement like this because he doesn't happen to like this result. When people make planning applications for heritage areas, I do feel there's a responsibility on all the departments to make people aware of what the regulations and guidelines are, because I feel that a lot of the guidelines haven't been adhered to over the last few years. And the example I will give is in Peel Market Square, where we had a planning application, which if the guidelines would have been applied, and this was a government department which applied, the result wouldn't be what we have now. And thank goodness the planners also threw out the DOI plan for Michael Street and Athol Place, because that also was not suitable for a 19th century fishing town. So sometimes planning gets it wrong, but we mustn't fall into the trap of saying all development trumps the guidelines. And as Pat said, there was a previous application approved for this site. Why this other application's come in, I have no idea. But we've got to let the people who make the decisions make them without chief ministers interfering. I'll just give you another example. We all know that in the last administration, there was interested party status introduced to objections, which made it much more difficult for objectors of general concern to register their objection and be able to speak. So we've got to be careful. Chief ministers, especially in my view, have got to be careful. They mustn't be seen to be putting pressure on the people who make the decisions. Their job, I would suggest, is probably difficult enough without a chief minister saying, virtually, I want you to pass any plan which is of economic development, regardless of what the ramifications are for it. And that's my view, Andy.
Oh, but somebody has to negotiate the way through this, Stephen. You're quite right. I mean, planning can get very vexed because people will have different opinions about, you know, what the notion of progress is. Inevitably, let's face it, in most planning applications, there's a pecuniary interest, particularly commercial planning. So that has to be negotiated. But when we are lumbered with some awful brownfield sites around the Isle of Man and some dilapidated buildings, there appears to be a logjam that needs to be broken.
Part of this problem, Andy, is that a number of years ago, I think it was the former chief minister, as we're talking about chief ministers, took away the ability of grant aid to be given to older properties, possibly contributing to this problem of older properties in the towns not getting the proper renovation. That was a big mistake to withdraw the grant aid for renovating old properties. That was a terrible mistake, and that is one that I feel should be reconstituted.
Yeah, I mean, that can be reversed.
Let's look at the recent green grants. I think there was thousands of homes looked at, and they reported on Manx Radio. There was only a couple of grants given. So the grant aid that is available is not getting to those that need it, is it? And that also has to be a consideration of why places are getting dilapidated. Let's not blame it on the planning committee to make the wrong decision. Otherwise, let's just do away with the planning committee and let Comyn make every decision. And by golly, people would be up in arms then because they would probably trample over all the guidelines.
That's great. Thanks for raising that grant aid as well. I'd have forgotten all about that. I'm glad you raised it. All right, Stephen, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, two primary schools in the Isle of Man will have new head teachers from the new year in January next year. Max Kelly is taking over at Williston, and Adrian Shorthouse has taken over at Jubilee, Scolna Jubilee, after their current head teachers, Rose Burton and Jane Adamson, retire at the end of this year. All I will say is that Max Kelly and Adrian Shorthouse are also currently head teachers of other schools. Max Kelly and Adrian Shorthouse will continue in their current positions. Max Kelly will take over the third school. Max Kelly is head teacher at Laxey and Doon and will now take over at Williston. And Adrian Shorthouse is head teacher at Cueg and will now take over at Scolna Jubilee. So you have to ask why. Why is this to save money? Obviously, we congratulate Max Kelly and Adrian Shorthouse on their new positions, but Max Kelly is now head teacher at three schools, and Adrian Shorthouse is head teacher at two schools. How would you feel? I mean, if you have a son or a daughter at any of those schools and you're getting a third or a half of a head teacher.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists and we're here to help. Call 692 400. Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
They got your whole house in their hands.
When you need scaffolding,
DPM,
on time and on budget,
DPM,
will beat any quote.
DPM, we do it all at DPM.
DPM promise to beat any like-for-like scaffolding quote by 10%. So when you need scaffolding, call the friendly, experienced DPM scaffolding team on 612000. T's and C's apply.
We do it all at DPM.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved, and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies, and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
Here at Q-Plus, we're not just blue, we're green. From smart boilers to heat pumps, Q-Plus supply products from the leading brands in renewable energy for a cleaner, greener home. So call into Q-Plus on Snugborough Trading Estate, the island's largest independent plumbing and heating merchants for trade and retail. Or call 673 131 to talk to our friendly experts about the latest cost-effective products in home heating and find out what we can do for you at Q-Plus.
Hello, this is Howard Kane, inviting you to join me in the Wine Cellar for our new podcast, All for Wine. In this first episode, the cellar's wine wunderkind, Chris, chats to me about the basics of wine tasting and the wonderful wines of Garvey.
Nice citrus going on there. I can almost smell something almost a bit like wet flint.
You're tempted, aren't you? Then why not subscribe to the podcast via the Manx Radio site and join us each month? Better still, drop into the Wine Cellar on Peel Road and try your own bottle. All for Wine with the Wine Cellar podcast. Download and taste along.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. We've got a problem at Kate's Cottage due to the road service issues at Kate's Cottage. The mountain road is closed from the Craig to Brandywell for up to 2 hours. There's some problems there. There's a hole in the road at Kate's Cottage. Officers are now on the scene. There are rocks in the road. There's also been an accident on the Slock. There's a car in the ditch there. Do take care. There's lots of standing water around. And just drive to the conditions. A note in from Jane. Lots of reaction on Man in Line today. No reason why the nuisance building facade can't be preserved, however dilapidated it is. Anybody who's driven through any town and anywhere and watch grand designs on TV will have seen this. We bought a house in need of renovation. So many builders came to quote, and with a few exceptions, they wanted to knock it down and start again. It's easier, it's quicker, it's cheaper. I'm sure there is much more to this than is apparent. Maybe your contributor's comment about instating grant aid is the way forward. I don't blame the planners. Our heritage has to be protected, or we become just another UK-style town surrounded by sea, says Jane. Here's a note in that just says, let's have a look. The Chief Minister isn't fit for purpose over procrastination on the nuisance planning decision, said Ed in Castletown. Sue at Quit For You was my mentor. After 60 years as a smoker, I am now 18 months smoke-free. Thank you, Sue, says Roy in Jerby. I'd love to hear from you. Stoptober is going to be very important. And it's worth remembering that there are people who will be very quietly making the decision to try and stop smoking. Stoptober starts tomorrow, October, and 10,000 people smoke on the Isle of Man. Well, obviously, there are health implications. Certainly, there are money implications. It costs a fortune to smoke nowadays. And if it's something you're trying to give up, then we wish you well. And if you've given up in recent years, nice to know how you did it. Thanks for that, Roy. We appreciate that. Still lots of people talking about the standing water on the roads, and please do take care. Hospital clinics are being cancelled when people arrive. Test results are being delayed in back offices, and medics are planning to leave the Isle of Man. What's going to happen with this? Says G. Well, we'll find out, really, as Manx Care now roll on. You remember Teresa Cope and the chair were in, Andrew Foster was in a wee while ago, talking about what happens. I mean, obviously, all is not well. And what started off splitting DHSC and Manx Care is a much bigger job than they envisaged in the first place. They should ban smoking in public places, says Alan. That's the way to do it. I think an old Douglas character, Putty Nose Cubbon, lived on the nuisance site, says Byrne. Here's a note in that just says, oh, we've got some more messages in regarding Newson's again. Wasn't Newson's building purchased first, but then a listing notice was slapped on it? So would the people have purchased it if the notice had been on it in the first place, says June? Planning for the development was granted in 2018, says Texter 805. The Nissan Leaf, says Texter 287, came onto the market in 2010, and there are still plenty around using the same battery that they came with. Just because they have a guarantee, however many years, doesn't mean they will last that long. Brazil promised, this is G again, thank you G, 313G we'll call you. Brazil promised at COP26 to reduce deforestation, but are still burning thousands of square kilometres of the Amazon rainforest. We should forget about reducing our carbon emissions and focus on a sustainable energy source and mitigating impacts from climate change. We all use electric cars. If we all use electric cars, says Tom on 790, how are they going to replace the lost fuel duty? What is the how much fuel duty? Well, we get a fortune in fuel duty and the VAT associated with it. In fact, the majority of what you pay for road fuel is tax, fuel duty, or VAT. How's that going to be? And how much, by the way, if you have an electric car, what is the road tax on an electric car? Talk about disjointed communication, says Southern Andy. We have an MLC speaking publicly about how she doesn't want the Newson's development. That's Marlene Masker. Yet another, our chief minister, is very sensible in stating we won't move forward if planning is influenced by safeguarding the past bias. When are we going to see positive planning approvals, says Southern Andy. And here's a note in that just says, this is regarding the chief minister again, Julie, saying the chief minister visiting Bahrain. It's my view that he should have remained on the Isle of Man to sort out national issues. As for Bahrain, why would the Isle of Man wish to be associated with Bahrain when the government continues to commit serious human rights violations? Official investigations of ill treatment resulted in impunity for the perpetrators, says Julie. It's an interesting point, isn't it? If we do business with discredited regimes, what does that make us? But having said that, if we don't do business with these regimes, lots of other people are queuing up to do business. So how does that square?
Whatever your style, you'll find something stunning to enhance your home at Miller Jabs of Ramsey. From classic elegance to new trends in home design, Miller Jabs have two fabulous floors packed with fantastic new furniture, furnishings and homeware. Whether you're looking for fabrics and wallpapers, new flooring, a comfy sofa, or unique artwork to complete your look, you'll find it at Miller Jabs, along with much more from their vast, inspirational range. Find your style in store today at Miller Jabs of Ramsey.
Manx Gas is changing its name to Isle of Man Energy. Our vision is to be more than a gas company, so we can offer customers choice in their energy management. We're committed to helping during the energy crisis by offering new solutions and services, like our smart home products, so you can use energy more efficiently. And for the future, we're looking at alternatives to natural gas, such as biogas and green hydrogen, to support the Isle of Man's green energy transition. Find out more at isleofmanenergy.im. Energy for every generation.
Just hop on board with Tours Isle of Man for the best holiday you could ever plan.
When you book a holiday with Tours Isle of Man, all you have to do is pack your bag, because everything else is taken care of. You'll be picked up and transported by coach to your fabulous destination. Hotels are chosen for their high standards and excursions are included. For the latest Tours Isle of Man brochure, call 822-611 or see online.
Visit tours.co.il.
The Ramsey Garden Centre sale is now on, featuring a huge range of garden items at vastly reduced prices. Don't delay. Grab a garden bargain now. There has never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week on Albert Road, Ramsey.
Nissan lead the way in electric cars. And now you can test drive the all-new 100% electric Nissan Ariya at the Athol Garage 3-day event this weekend. To book your time slot,
Call 820082.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekends continue with your chance to win £200 to spend at Haldane Fisher stores in Douglas or Ramsey. To win, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend all day Saturday and Sunday, and join us on Monday in Alex in the afternoon, where we'll announce who the lucky winner is. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Haldane Fisher in Douglas and Ramsey, and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 13 minutes before one on Manx Radio. As a visitor to the Isle of Man twice a year, most years, and a person who's used the campsites for almost 35 years, I'm finding it difficult when it comes to packing up and getting onto the early morning boat back home. Stan dropped me a note, him. You have to be checked in 45 minutes before the boat sails, so I've got to be there about 6 a.m. with my gear. Well, I don't have a car on the Isle of Man, and buses don't run that early, so I use my feet or a bike. Most times I pack up before dusk the evening before, so my tent's down, dry, but in Douglas, especially at TT and Manx Grand Prix time, there's nowhere to nowhere now to even get shelter if it's raining. I used to be able to sit quietly in the welcome centre, but now it shuts between sailings, started some years ago when it shut about 11 o'clock and opened early in the morning. So is there any alternative for campers like me to get shelter before the early morning sailing, says Stan. If you're a camper or you know somebody who is, then you'll know all about that. Is the welcome centre closed overnight during MGP and TT? Lots of people also mentioning the toast rack style tram that is now, I think it got sold at the auction, didn't it, last week or the week before it was sold. But it's the road going toast rack tram. Looks fantastic, doesn't it? And a message in just regarding antisocial behaviour, something we've talked about at Paul Rose. Recently, you reported antisocial behaviour at Paul Rose. I thought I'd give an update in the area. I recently spoke to the councillor, Schwengel, for Douglas, who's councillor for the area, who's exploring to get more CCTV in the area to help reduce crime around Paul Rose. Elderly people are frightened by the behaviour of teenagers and drugs gangs in Paul Rose. This is the word of this contributor. Police aren't taking the issue seriously. Nobody's willing to help us. We're told they're going to do something, but so far nothing has happened. We don't see foot patrols of police, and everybody I've spoken to has said they've seen no police walking around Paul Rose Estate and no visible presence. Well, the police station went years ago, didn't it? We've seen teenagers using children to sell drugs, cars coming and going, picking up drugs. Nobody is taking this as a Paul Rose resident who sent this in to me. Nobody is taking residents seriously enough. Since you last reported it, nothing has been done and people are getting fed up, says that correspondent. We're currently putting in place, Ramsey Town Commissioners have got in touch with Manx Radio, we're putting in place an emergency road closure on the section of Parliament Street, Ramsey, between Tower Street and Market Hill. This is necessary due to loose roof tiles on a building adjacent to Cannells Lane. The road closure is envisaged to be in place till 4 o'clock today, when the high winds will be easing, but it is on Parliament Street between Tower Street and Market Hill. And David's with us. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Just quickly, too, and those for come on, or they haven't come on, actually, and said I'm whinging too much, but people talk to me about different things, and I like to come on and give the information. And the biggest one that's come out at the minute, a new government release that says the Isle of Man government is suspending new applications for the home energy audit from 5 o'clock tonight. What's that about? We've already got it back, I'm led to believe, about 2,000 applications already stuck, and nobody's got anything. So what confidence is this going to give to the people out there of what is actually happening and who's doing this all the time? Why are we suspending it? Is there a reason for it? Let's have some bit more information. And just, I know Stephen very well, and I agree with him regarding Peel. Nice little area. It's developed quite nice and will be, I'm sure, that the local authority will look after that particular area. But when you get the granddaddy assistance, when I was in there, planning chairman, it was peanuts. You were talking about £30,000. And if anybody's trying to make an application to do some work in a conservation area and you're a registered building, the notes on the end of the bill just seem to go up a lot more. Like I've said to you in the past, one of the ones that was I dealt with was when a fella wanted to renew the roof and then the truss. The truss will never be seen, and because the ends were rotten as it goes towards the gutters there, the fella just wanted to put tantalised timbers all up from top to bottom, and he had to cut them and splice in 2 foot pieces into the gutter edge to make it comply. Now, we're in a modern world now, and we've got to have buildings that are going to last. And like some people have been saying there now, when you construct a new building, all these builders have got to construct to the CDM regulations, construction, design and management, to make sure what you design and build can be maintained and then knocked down in a safe manner in their future. So I just don't know where we are. And as for the Chief Minister saying a few things, I welcome that. The Chief Minister said to give us a lead for the whole of the island. It's a shame the other politicians don't take the lead as well.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David.
Bye.
Appreciate that. Keep your ears open, by the way. That's good. You're being urged, by the way, to check if you have any UK paper £20 or £50 notes. They're being withdrawn from circulation today. So if you've got UK paper £20 or £50 paper, as opposed to this kind of new plastic stuff that we have, they're being withdrawn from circulation today. If you've got notes in your possession, you're advised to pay them into your bank or have them exchanged for newer notes. They may also be spent while they remain legal tender, although acceptance is at the discretion of the business owner. The withdrawal from circulation follows the introduction of these plastic polymer things, versions of both notes, which include security features designed to make them harder to fake. The Isle of Man Bank's going to continue to accept the discontinued UK 20 and £50 notes after today and repatriate them to the UK. And I think most other banks are expected to take the same approach. But it is today, 30th of September, the UK 20 and £50 notes are going to be withdrawn. We've got a note in just said, is it true that Kurt Michael Chippy's closing down? Well, apparently it is true. Kurt Michael Chippy is disappearing. That is different from the Michael Chippy. This is very important on the island. Kurt Michael Chippy is different from the Michael Chippy, which is the one that goes to Saddlestone. So if you're in Saddlestone, your Tuesday night Chippy is secure. That Kurt Michael Chippy, I think, serves Laxey, Ramsey and Glenvine. But apparently it's going, another business going on the Isle of Man. Let's get to some more notes in. Una dropped a note in just to say the tram was privately owned, had an engine, but she thought something similar would be great going from Broadway to the sea terminal. That's the sort of one we want. Do we want the proper tram on rails, you know, with the horse? Second message regarding head teachers, says Jane. It happens all the time in the UK. They're called executive heads over several schools, with a deputy head on the site being the acting head. The positive outcome of having an executive head is that standards across schools are now made consistent rather than the niche whims of a particular head in one school. I think it's a good thing, says Sue. This is the news about the new head teachers also having other responsibilities. Before anybody buys an EV, the reality of rare earth mineral mining is causing environmental disasters. China has now moved to Myanmar, environmental issues that other nations shy away from, says John. 70,000 tons of waste turned it into a chlorium lake in Mongolia after it was made public. And China's dominance of the rare earth market makes it almost impossible to counter. Well, let's face it, if you've been looking at the way China's been behaving in Africa for the past 40 years, China's been investing in Africa. They really have played the long game. Last day, by the way, to have your say on the public consultation at consult.gov.im. It's the public consultation. If you want to have your say on that, consult.gov.im. If planning are that concerned about historical buildings being kept, why did they let our Victorian prison get demolished? Just a thought, says this correspondent. And a note in from Mick, who dropped me a note in from from whereabouts? Oh, Union Mills, Mick, who just says, I just find it interesting the difference between the Victorians, who never let anything get in their way of progress. Remember, the Victorians created promenades, reclaimed land, flattened entire streets to put their own stuff up. And we seem to be so in love with Victorian architecture that we won't knock that down and put something new up. Maybe we should take a leaf from the Victorians. Thank you, Mick. I gave up smoking 30 years ago. I only succeeded because I didn't talk about it. I wanted to do it, says David. I've got double glazing in my house. My wife wanted Georgian bars in them. Planning wise guys said no, it would soil the character of. So have you been down our street? The only one without a bay window. We got our way, says Des. That's it.
WINT.